An Oakland County judge set to decide this morning the fate of Jennifer and James Crumbly, who have been convicted in historic trials on four counts of involuntary manslaughter. The tragic events at Oxford High School have gripped the nation, and now all eyes are on the courtroom as the judge deliberates what kind of prison terms to give the Crumblys. Let's delve deeper into this pivotal moment with Todd Flood, attorney and managing partner at Flood Law. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning. Good morning. How's it going?
Good. Now, do you think Judge Cheryl Matthews already knows the sentence she's going to hand down, or will these victim impact statements that we expect today play that final part in shaping the sentences?
I think the judge probably has a range in her mind, but I don't think she has made up any decision on her sentencing until she hears everything. And the arguments back and forth about sentencing guidelines, the impact from the victims, because they will be there and talk to the judge about what they want to see and what their loss is. And also, you're going to hear the allocution on behalf of each defendant. Each defendant is going to have an opportunity to speak. So I think she may have a range or an idea, but I know that she's going to make her decision based on all of the material, not just what has been presented so far.
Todd, do you think the both parents get the exact same sentence?
It would be odd to me if she found one more responsible than the other, but that's totally possible. She may say that the evidence with the mother was overwhelming compared to James, or vice versa. I tend to believe that they'll probably get both the same, but it's a great question. It depends on how she sees the acts or lack of acts by either one, and how culpability may come into play. And the other huge elephant in the room here is which one of the defendants has a better allocution as far as what they say and how they say it.
Well, do you think the defendants speak on their behalf at all, or let their pleadings speak for themselves? And in the end, do you think they get the max?
I think the defendants will speak, my guess of things. I think they do. It would be, I can't imagine them not speaking because it's such an emotionally charged time. Unless they believe, and their lawyers believe, that it's just futile, and the judge has made up her mind. I don't believe that to be the case. The max, so guidelines are advisory, and the max a person can get is 2/3 of the maximum time. So if it's a 15-year offense, the maximum time would be 10 years, 10 to 15. The guidelines obviously don't score it out that way. Depending on how you go with the guidelines, some say it's as high as 70 months on the top end, and some say it's 58. So I could see. I mean, there's a rational basis for the judge to go over the guidelines, but there's also I looked at manslaughter sentencings from around the state, and one of the big questions is how is this compared to other cases where and the ones that are most common are auto cases where someone kills, three people in an auto accident and is found grossly negligent for an involuntary manslaughter, or an OWI, a 15-year offense causing death, in manslaughter type cases. And you've seen sentences range anywhere between 4 and 7 years. So on some of the top ends, I have not seen one that's 10 to 15, the max 2/3. So I think if you go to the history of our state and sentencing judges, it's very rare that someone would get the max unless there's some extreme situations. And in this case, obviously, we all know it's charged. Our town, our city, our community, our state with a lot of, fervor, to say the least.
Todd, the Crumbleys have requested to be sentenced to time served and then released from jail. You have Jennifer Crumbley wanting to do her time in her lawyer's guest house. The chances of the judge granting that request?
I think slim and none. That's not going to happen. I mean, mind you, I don't have a crystal ball here, but just reasonable, I don't see, one, anyone ever allowing, in this case, time served and tether or having, you know, the defendant stay with the lawyer. I haven't heard of that, but I just don't see that happening, Lloyd. I believe that, and I will say this, I've read all the sentencing memorandums, and I think all of them are excellent, if anyone hasn't read them. I think they're all excellent, from the prosecution to both James and Mrs. Crumbley. They're well done, but I think if you look at Jennifer Crumbley's sentencing memorandum and her scenario, she's looking at, you know, if not released, then 40 months, which would give basically another year in prison.
Todd, is this the first time the parents have seen each other in person in quite some time? And I'm wondering if their son knows that this is a big day for his parents.
I believe it is the first time that they've seen each other. I don't know that firsthand, but I believe that is accurate because they're not in court together anymore. They have a kite system in the jail, and a kite system is where messages can be, you know, sent over to other people, and I'm sure they've had communications that way. And the son, yes, I believe, would know. I've been in many a prisons, many a jails, and that word, there'll be a lot of inmates even watching this thing, so because they have TV and the like, so I'm sure it's up to him.
Todd, if these defendants do speak, what the heck do they say? I mean, we've got Jennifer Crumbley, who when asked, is there anything that you would have done differently? She said, no, there's not a thing I would have changed. And now she is expected to show some remorse or that there are recriminations. I mean, how can she reconcile all that?
You know, a pro would be able to figure out how to walk that back, but she's not a pro, right? But she needs to walk that back to the extent that she can. Every person has a story. You know, this is how do you get your story out of who you are as a human being, and to have the ability to, you know, if I was the Crumbleys, you know, whatever, I would say get rid of your rage for the prosecutor. To focus your mind over here to the victim's family, and also focus your mind to telling the judge something about you, that redeeming qualities, that, you know, you don't need to throw away the key. You don't need to put me in prison and throw away the key. I'm remorseful for my acts. I wish I could turn back the hands of time. There isn't a way for me to do that. Somehow, some way, you have to tell that human being's story. And when when you're in a sentencing situation like this, you want to find the ability to pull that story out of the human, out of the person, out of the defendant. You want to be able to show and focus where remorse belongs, that with the victim's family and the community and everybody that was involved and impacted by this. And then you need to explain to the court, I have some redeeming quality here, Your Honor. And that redeeming quality, in comparison, you know, of who you are and what good things you have done. That's the best you can do and hope for. I'm not sure that this will be done by either one of these defendants, but I can say based on the writings I have read, both by the prosecution and the defense, that they do an excellent job on both sides to attempt to tell the story of how the victims will never have their life to be normal again. And the defense in attempting to tell the story of why there needs to be that this should not be a sentencing of disparity of how people were treated in other cases compared to our case.
Todd Flood, attorney and managing partner at Flood Law, always love your expertise. Thanks for being here on JR Morning.
Love being with you guys. Have a great day.
You as well. Lee Simon, physical therapist at Team Rehabilitation, gets us fit. And we're going to focus on that at 7:49.